yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast when I get a chance with my buddy Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles. Check him out, by the way, on Twitter, at FDuffy3. We get a chance to break down the top players in the top games. We tell you what we saw from the weekend before that was of note, and then get you prepped for the big games this weekend, including Texas at USC, Clemson at Louisville, and a couple other matchups we'll dive into as well. There were some good matchups and some good performances in week two. My name is Ross Tucker. I'm a former NFL offensive lineman. Got a bunch of different podcasts I think a lot of you already know about, like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast or Fantasy Feast for those of you that like the fantasy game, or even money if you'd like to put a little something-something on the games that you watch every week. I love this podcast because I love tracking the top players with my buddy Fran, and I like previewing the big games. I love college football. I sat in my hotel room Saturday and watched the crap out of college football. I don't have any clue why all seven good games are on at the exact same time. I can't control that. It drives me absolutely berserk. I'm there at noon and 3:30 being like, what are we doing? Thankfully, Penn State was on at 3:30, but still, it's crazy. Anyway, my social media, pretty much everywhere, is at Ross Tucker NFL. Fran, let's get to the quarterbacks again. I feel like we're probably going to do this every week because it's the most highly touted quarterback class in a while. People are into it. I get it. I like it. We're into it as well. Tell me what you saw from those guys this week.
Yeah, and I understand why we have to do it each week. I hate that we have to do it each week, but I fully understand why. And obviously, it's a huge point of discussion with this quarterback class. And, you know, a lot of guys really came back strong after getting a lot of negative buzz the week before. You know, Sam Darnold really struggled against Western Michigan. And, Ross, I went back and rewatched that tape, and he did struggle. You know, it wasn't just numbers. I thought that he looked hurried at times. I thought his lower body mechanics were an issue. You saw his accuracy and ball placement really, really suffer. His velocity is never great. He doesn't have a gun, but his velocity, his ball placement, his accuracy really were thrown off. I thought that the pressure got to him early in that game, and so I was anxious to see him against the Stanford front. Obviously, a much better group in terms of personnel than what he saw against Western Michigan the week before. Now his numbers were way better. You know, he's 21 of 26, 316 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did throw 2 picks in this game. I haven't gone back and rewatched and fully studied Sam Darnold against the Cardinal, but it's good to see him kind of get back on the horse and put up a good performance against a Pac-12 rival with the Stanford Cardinal. So definitely a good bounce back game for Sam Darnold. Out west again, you still have Josh Allen, 22 of 32, 328 yards, 2 touchdowns against Gardner Webb. Not the same kind of team that he saw the week before when he struggled against Iowa. But this week, and we'll talk about this a little bit, he's got a big matchup against this Oregon defense at home at Wyoming. So it'll be a really interesting battle for him this week. And then Josh Rosen had another great performance. I mean, he was lights out against Hawaii this week, 22 of 25, 329 yards, 5 touchdowns for Josh Rosen. Really excited to see Josh Rosen take on some of these other Pac-12 defenses. But a really good performance for him as well.
Yeah, I know that it's a marathon, not a sprint, but I don't know. It just seems to me like maybe it's fair to say that Josh Rosen's leading the marathon right now, but it's 26 miles and we're about 4 miles in. So there's a long way to go, but I think that that's probably fair. I think Rosen against decent competition has been the best. I also want to talk about a couple other guys stood out to me. How about, Fran, Ronald Jones, the USC running back? Now, I know you've talked about him here, but nationally, everybody always talks about Saquon Barkley from Penn State for good reason and Darius Geis from LSU, but you've been high on Ronald Jones. I watched that game. He has some serious juice, man. I mean, he looked almost like Reggie Bush out there.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, look, Ronald Jones is a guy that really kind of caught my eye. You know, I was a big fan of Justin Davis a year ago, from USC. He was a senior. He ended up making the team with the Rams as an undrafted free agent. And I really like Justin Davis. But Jones took a lot of carries from Davis, especially when Davis went down with an injury. He didn't really give that job back to Davis. So Jones at 6 foot, 200 pounds, one of his best traits is that breakaway speed, that ability to pull away in the open field. And you mentioned that explosiveness. That shows up, and it's so shocking because of how big he is. He's got really good contact balance. His ability to run through initial contact, I think, is very good. My question with him was, I didn't think that he had great vision when I watched him a year ago, his sophomore season. He seems to be seeing things a little bit quicker now, and that could be a good sign for him in the future. I'll know more when I go back and really, really study it hard. But he seems to be seeing things a little bit quicker. I'm excited to go back and dig deeper into that. But Jones, talent-wise, I mean, he's very, very intriguing. Again, 116 yards, two touchdowns this past week at Stanford. He really helped them lead them to victory against Western Michigan the week before as well. So Ronald Jones certainly has been one of the stars of this young college football season. By the way, I can't believe we're already previewing week three. Next week, we're going to be talking about the quarter poll of this season, or the one-third poll of this season already with college football. But Ronald Jones, certainly one of the stars so far.
I know. Somehow we should make non-football season go faster and football season go slower.
That would be good.
I don't know if we can work that out with the calendar gods or whatever, but that would be good for me. What about Lamar Jackson, Fran? Is it unfair that we don't even mention him among the top quarterbacks, especially after what he did to North Carolina?
You know, with Lamar Jackson, here's the thing, is that all he's done so far this year has been answer questions about his play and his ability to be a quarterback in the National Football League. You know, you see him win more from the pocket. I went back and studied the game against Purdue in week one, and you're seeing him complete more passes from the pocket than we've seen throughout the course of his career. Okay. And then he goes to North Carolina on the road, tough game against a conference opponent. He throws for almost 400 yards. He runs for another 130, six total scores against the Tar Heels. Now, they don't have a great defense by measure of the ACC, but still a talented group. But I still have questions. And when I went back and watched that Purdue game, while I saw his ability to keep his eyes downfield and make plays from the pocket, there are still some questions. He gets down into the red zone, and you can see everything's a little bit hurried. He's a little bit antsy. There are times where he gets to his second or third progression. Those are the questions that I've got with a Lamar Jackson and whether he's going to be able to translate fully. Can he be a star at the NFL level at the quarterback position? That's going to be a question. But I do think that he belongs in the discussion in terms of this quarterback class. Do I think he's a first-round pick in terms of, you know, should he be that guy? Probably not. But I didn't think Patrick Mahomes deserved to be in that discussion either, and we saw how high he went in the draft. So with all of his physical tools, I think Lamar Jackson absolutely is going to be in the discussion. I'll be interested to see how the narrative does change, if it does change, because I think he belongs in the discussion. It's just a matter of, can he develop mentally at the position, get through his progressions, make the best decisions with the football. His ball placement and touch, those were issues for him as well at times. So I think Lamar Jackson is going to be a really interesting story to follow throughout this college football season.
Love it. Yeah, he's fun to watch. I know that much. Speaking of fun, BetDSI is fun. They've been in business for over 20 years, paying winners. They are A-plus rated on sportsbook review sites. They've got odds on pretty much everything, football, including live betting and props, as the games are in action, which is awesome. Just use the promo code COLLEGE25. And get a $25 free wager just for registering. If you decide to deposit, you get a 200% bonus match on your money. Again, think about this. You go to betdsi.com. If you use college25, you get a free $25 bet. Then if you deposit, you get a 200% extra bonus. We are giving out free money at college25, betdsi.com. Again, use that code COLLEGE25. We're also giving out all kinds of free previews here with head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
Let's start with USC again, Fran. They've got Texas. It's not your daddy's Texas football team, but there are a couple prospects for the Longhorns that we can watch match up against the Trojans on Saturday night. What do you got?
Yeah, no question about it. When USC has the football, all eyes will be on Sam Darnold. We've talked about Ronald Jones in the run game, and he's got the ability to change the outcome of that game. The guys that are going to be charged with stopping Ronald Jones are the linebackers there in that front four, or in that front seven. Malik Jefferson's the big name, 6'3", 232 pounds. He's got the athletic ability to chase down a Ronald Jones. I mean, his closing speed in the open field is really impressive. He's got a really impressive short area burst downhill, and he's a very good blitzer. And that's why, honestly, I think that'll be a very interesting matchup, because one area where I wanted to see Ronald Jones improve from a year ago was in pass protection. So if Malik Jefferson does come on the blitz, if Ronald Jones is held into pass protect, that will be an interesting matchup. And I think that's where Jefferson can beat Ronald Jones. Now, I do have questions about Jefferson's ability to read things in front of him. I didn't think that he was the most instinctive player in terms of reading his keys and diagnosing the action in front of him. So that will be interesting to watch. They've got another linebacker there, another junior, Anthony Wheeler, a big kid, 6'3", 240. He's more of a point of attack guy. He's a big, strong player. Kind of reminds me of former Ohio State linebacker Joshua Perry, who's a L.A. Charger right now. Not the most athletic kid. He's not the athlete that Jefferson is, but a big physical presence inside. I'll be interested to see how those two linebackers can combine forces to stop a Ronald Jones in this backfield. And then on the other side of the coin, when Texas has the football, the number one matchup that I'm going to be focused on is going to be off the edge with Connor Williams, the left tackle for the Longhorns. He's 6'6", 310 pounds, really good feet. I like his toughness. He's athletic. There are a lot of traits that you like with Connor Williams. I think one of the big things I was worried about was his play strength. He likes to bury people, but he didn't always display that strength that I think that people expect from a top-flight NFL offensive line prospect, and that will be a question. Some people question his length as well, and we'll see, but he's got a good matchup this week. Again, we've talked about this guy a couple weeks in a row. Porter Gustin, off the edge for USC, 6'5", 260, not the greatest athlete in the world. He's not as athletic as Connor Williams, but he is a technician. The guy knows how to use his hands. He can go speed to power. He can win in a lot of different ways. So when Gustin does line up over Williams, he has moved around a bit, Porter Gustin, but when he is lined up over Connor Williams, I think that'll be one of the most fascinating matchups in this game.
Let's move on to Clemson at Louisville. And since that's an ACC matchup that they've moved to 8 p.m., should be noted, Fran, that Miami-Florida State might have been at the top of this list.
Yeah.
But it's been postponed. So instead, Clemson against Louisville. Who are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be focused again on Lamar Jackson and this Clemson pass rush. And that's probably going to be the biggest matchup in this game. You've got Christian Wilkins up front, who is just a load for Clemson. He was outstanding last week in their game against Auburn. 10 tackles, 2 sacks, 2.5 tackles for loss. Christian Wilkins, to me, is one of the top 10 prospects in this draft. He's only a junior, so he could go back for another year. But Wilkins is an absolute load inside, playing at that natural defensive tackle spot for him at 6'2", 310. Is really good to see. And then you have Cleland Farrell off the edge, 6'5", 265. He's long. He's got a good burst. He can win in a couple different ways. I'd like to see him get a little bit stronger still at the point of attack. But Cleland Farrell, Christian Wilkins, Bryant, the other kid off the edge, they've got some players in that front four. So seeing how they're able to contain a Lamar Jackson, I think, will be very fun to watch in this game. And then on the outside, Jalen Smith is a big receiver. He's been the big play guy for Lamar Jackson so far this year, 6'4", 220. Really stood out to me a year ago against Florida State watching that game because of his size, his movement, his ability to win after the catch. Going up against this secondary here from Clemson, I think, will be very interesting. And then on the other side, when Clemson's got the ball, a deep receiving core for Clemson, Deion Kane, Ray McCloud, Travion Thompson, Hunter Renfrow, going up against this Louisville secondary, which I think has the ability to be the strength of this defense. You look at the safety, Chucky Williams, but more importantly, outside of corner, Jair Alexander. Some have compared him in the past to like a Vernon Hargreaves type talent. I'm not quite there yet, but I like Jair Alexander a lot. Now, he did not play last week against North Carolina. He's currently, as of this recording, day-to-day with a knee injury. So if he doesn't go, that will be big. But look at Tremaine Washington, who's a senior corner on the other side. 5'10", 181, good ball skills, good zone corner. He really struggled against Clemson last year, gave up 2 touchdowns. One of them was a 37-yarder to Deion Kane. So that'll be a big matchup to watch, this Louisville secondary against this Clemson receiving core.
I love it. It should be awesome. Always a lot of speed in that matchup, which
no doubt
I'll be looking for. All right, other matchups around the country, Fran, that that you've got your eye on in any of the different games that are on?
Dude, there's actually a bunch this week. We're going to see the return of Arden Key, who's coming off. He was cleared earlier this week for his shoulder injury, so we'll see him against Mississippi State. They've got a left tackle there, and Martinez Rankin, who's 6'5", 302 pounds. He's got pretty good hands. He's got pretty good feet. I'd like to see him get stronger. His technique's not great. He'll play a little bit high at times. He can get a little bit wild. But Martinez Rankin reportedly was given a second-round grade by the NFL Draft Advisory Committee last winter when he was trying to decide if he was going to go into the draft or stay in school. So he is a pretty good talent. I don't think he's quite a finished product yet, but a really big test for him against Arden Key. He's certainly one of the more dynamic pass rushers in the country. We talked about Josh Allen taking on Oregon at home. That will be big for him. He's struggled against the Power 5 defenses he's faced throughout his career, so he's got another shot at the apple with that one. And then Old Dominion going on the road, playing North Carolina, I think is really interesting because North Carolina, they've got a corner, MJ Stewart, who I think is the best senior corner in the country for my money. He's 5'11", 205. He's not a high upside guy. I don't even know if he's going to be an NFL starter. But to me, I watch him. He's a scrappy, smart, versatile football player. The guy can play inside. He can play outside. I like his ball skills. I really like MJ Stewart. And he's matched up against his Old Dominion receiving corps that has two guys on the outside that I've gotten texts about. I've gotten emails about. One stood out to me when I watched them a year ago. Jonathan Duhart is 6'3", 221. Travis Fulgham is 6'3", 214. The two big guys on the outside for Old Dominion against this North Carolina secondary is going to be really interesting. And then one last one. A year ago, we all talked about Donnell Pumphrey and how productive he was. He set records for all the numbers he put up for San Diego State. Well, now they've got another guy, Rashad Penny, who they take on Stanford at home in Qualcomm Stadium. Last week, they went the 2-0 Aztecs, beat Arizona State on the road, and Penny was outstanding. 353 all-purpose yards, a receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown, a kick return for a touchdown. San Diego State 2-0 at home. They've got Stanford. It's going to be a really interesting battle, and Penny has a chance to put his name even further on the map in this battle.
What about Florida-Tennessee, Fran? It's not getting postponed. It's going to be played as scheduled. Who are some of the guys to watch when the Vols and Gators get together?
Yeah, you got to look at in the secondary for Florida. Duke Dawson is a guy that's played both inside and outside, and against this receiving core of Tennessee, they've made a lot of plays this year, and that'll be, I think, one of the bigger matchups. No word yet on whether Antonio Callaway from Florida is going to be reinstated. Same thing with Jordan Scarlett, so we'll see if those guys are able to play in this game. Tennessee's got that nose tackle, Khalil McKenzie, that I've watched. They lost linebacker Darren Kirkland, so I thought that was a blow to that defense, but Khalil McKenzie, especially if Jordan Scarlett's able to play, I think that'll be really interesting to see Khalil McKenzie hold up against this Florida offensive line led by Martez Ivy, who's a star tackle guard for them. He's played both spots. Pretty sure he's still lining up a tackle for them as of this year. So those would be some of the names I'd keep an eye on in that battle.
I love it. Who you got for Georgia State? Georgia State plays Penn State.
You know, I've got a couple of names on my list, believe it or not, but I'm not.
If you said somebody for Georgia State right then you would be the god. You would be the guy, because this is the highest margin of spread that Penn State's had like in 10 years. By the way, Fran, I did want to get your thoughts on a couple more guys from the weekend. One thing I noticed, I don't know if you saw it, but the last play of the Notre Dame game, Georgia game, Mike McGlinchey, highly touted left tackle. I'm a big fan of his. He got beat clean by this kid from Georgia. And all I could think about was, you know, McGlinchey came back to school because he didn't like how last year finished and he wanted to be better and wanted, you know, to go out on a high note and have the team. I mean, I just was trying to put myself in his shoes, man. He must have been – that had to be tough. Because really, I saw he didn't really do anything that bad. It was a great move, great hand swipe by the kid. I just felt awful, awful for McGlinchey.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good front there for Georgia. And he has given up his share of plays, man. We talked about that when we did our O-line preview, or our independent preview, rather. You know, he's got all the talent in the world. I think he's got the size. He's got the frame. I think he's got good enough feet for sure to be a tackle. There are some lapses in concentration. I don't know what you would call it, but I'm going to go back and watch that game and see how he fared, because that was a good Georgia front that he was going up against for sure. By the way, from that same game, there's one clip that I did see spreading on social media. Did you see the clip of Quentin Nelson picking up a blitzer from the opposite side of the formation? They're in some kind of slide protection where they're sliding to his left, it looked like. And this was just off the TV copy, so I don't have all the details on it. But he looked like he's sliding left, and he didn't have anybody to block, so he's looking for work. There's a blitzer coming from the second level on the opposite side. He undercuts the rest of the O-line like he's a running back, shuffles over to the right side, and just stonewalls the blitzer. I've never seen anything like he's like otherworldly blocked by Quentin Nelson. He's such a freak show.
That I love that guy. I also love the right guard for Tennessee. That's who I'll be watching when they play Florida. I think his name's Trey Smith. He's a true freshman.
I watched
him at Georgia Tech. I fell in love. It was the same thing I felt when I met my wife for the first time. It was pretty much the exact same feeling. The only other thing I wanted to mention is two things. Oklahoma, Ohio State. JT Barrett is not a pro prospect at the quarterback position. I just don't see how anybody would look at him at that spot. And then Baker Mayfield, that was impressive. And I've seen some Jeff Garcia comparisons, but then he plants the flag in the O. And I just remember thinking, didn't he get a DUI or something this offseason?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just thought the combination of the DUI and planting the flag and his style of play and size, people are going to think it's like Johnny Manziel 2.0. You know, I just don't know why you would be that dumb to do that.
Yeah, and then he apologized the next day on a press conference. Like, if you're going to, like, to me, like, just own it at that point. But, I'm not – look, he's a great college football player, a ton of fun to watch. I love watching Baker Mayfield. I just haven't at any point bought into him as an NFL prospect, like a legit NFL prospect at quarterback. There's a lot of guys that I'll take on, you know, in terms of transitioning to the NFL game before I look at Mayfield in that kind of light. So, that's why I was good with him going back to school. Cause to me, like, he should be soaking this up. Like to me, he's got the ability to, I think, compete for the Heisman this year, obviously has them on a roll. So, that's about where I'm at with Mayfield at this point.
And I would also say this, Fran, they got a bunch of good players there, but at what point is the Ohio State D line that Greg Schiano said is better than his Bucks D-line going to play a little bit better than this? They're playing fine. They're getting in there sometimes, but if they're that good, they shouldn't be getting torn up by every quarterback they go against. I'm looking forward to studying those guys, and I'll be watching them as well. That'll do it, by the way, for this week's College Draft Podcast. Always catch Fran on his Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast every week, talking about the game of football from the All-22. And this week continues his Saturday scouting article detailing even more matchups to watch. We will break down and recap what you need to know from week number 3 as well as preview week 4. There's some good games next week that we'll get into. Loving the College Draft Podcast. Happy to have you guys aboard. This keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.